Every click leaves a trail. IPVanish helps you leave a lot less behind. With IPVanish, your traffic is encrypted, your IP address is shielded, and threat protection helps block malware, phishing sites, and trackers. It's simple, powerful privacy that fits real life, so you can browse with more confidence and less exposure. Join millions who trust IPVanish. Go to IPVanish.com, that's IPVanish.com, and choose your plan today. IPVanish. More privacy, less exposure.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, here is a story of how this woman got to know her father-in-law, who had died a year before she actually had even met her husband.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Do you have a real ghost story? Would you like to share it with us? You can call it in. 855-853-4802. You can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes, access to the complete archive, which is massive, you could become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts or go through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and my sister Kathy Gordon is here today.
I am. How are things going?
It's going pretty good. I had a very interesting conversation today for the Grave Talks about the very haunted Queen Mary.
Ooh.
Yeah, and when I edit that, I might have to share a few of the stories. It was really interesting. This girl I know, Nicole Strickland, has written not one or two, but three books on... My cat is talking again. See, he just keeps walking, and he just walks in the room and just starts meowing. Anyway... Nicole Strickland has written three books on the Queen Mary. And so it was really interesting because she's also done paranormal investigations there. And it was just kind of fascinating when you get to thinking about the history of that ship and just how many people have experienced the ship. Like people who have taken the original voyages on it. And then in World War II, they commissioned it, you know, and it helped with troops and stuff. Like at one point... They were taking troops from point A to point B, had over 16,000 on the ship.
Wow.
16,000. And then, you know, now it's
a
docked.
Moving city.
And now it's basically a hotel and you can go and do paranormal investigations. But there's been millions of people who have stepped foot on that ship.
Yeah. Has Nicole actually seen anything or had any experiences?
Yeah, so many things. So many things. Like, she's seen apparitions on the ship. She's got EVPs of things.
Ooh.
Like, there's a little girl, Jackie, who she was talking about, and she said that more than once she has sung Ring Around the Rosie Pie, that whole song, and then said, and we all fall, and then heard, down, like a little girl sing it. And then, so they did it again another night, and then they heard a man go, down.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, that's so creepy. But she said she has been on the ship literally hundreds of times. And so I'm fascinated. So all that said, Kathy, she has invited me out. And I said I would like to go with my sister to go visit her in Long Beach and tour the Queen Mary. I'm like, 100% absolutely, yes.
Count me in.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm going to, I will be brave. I say we got to spend the night, do the whole thing.
Would you really?
I think so.
Okay,
I think so.
I am going to hold you to this.
So we're going to do it.
Okay.
Because she goes, because she's been on the show several times on the Grave Talks, and she's like, you know, I should come out and visit you sometime. I'm like, I live in Kansas. Why would you do that? Let me go to Long Beach. I'll meet you at the Queen Mary.
Yeah, no, I would totally love to do that because I've been to Long Beach. My oldest son lived there for a while while he was going to University of California. And, but I never got to go to the Queen Mary.
And it was so funny because I went, on a whale, like a whale viewing expedition, like whale sightseeing, whale watching. That's the word I want. Thank you. Like of all the words I can't think of.
Viewing.
Like we hope to view them. I don't know. So we're going to view some whales, hopefully today. So we go out there to watch for whales, and we get there, and like, the Queen Mary's right there. I'm like, Oh, what are we doing? Like, that's where we should be going. But we've already paid for this. Like, we have misdone this. Like, we needed a do-over day.
I know. Urge, turn around.
Sorry. Well, this story today is really interesting in the way this woman wrote it in. It's kind of like chapters.
Okay.
And so each of them has a title. So it's really interesting. Oh. I love this. So the first one says, Message in a Picture, 2000. My father-in-law, John, passed on a year before I met my husband, Andy. John was a great husband and father to two boys, two girls, and two nieces. He was a good-sized man who retired after a lifetime as a machinist. It was years before they could talk about Daddy without tears in their eyes. Each member of the family has the same picture of him wearing a tool belt standing near the garage that he and my husband built. The picture was proudly displayed on our living room wall. As usual, I was home watching TV. My son Zach was in bed and Andy was out playing ice hockey. Suddenly, I felt my stomach drop. Like when you crest a hill fast on a country road. Does that remind you of our Uncle Dale?
Yeah, but I totally get what she's talking about. Yeah.
Our Uncle Dale used to do that with little kids in the car, and he'd be going like over 100. Like, this would be fun. And all of us kids would our butts would kind of lift up off the ground. Uncle Dale, do it again. Suddenly, I felt my stomach drop like when you go, oh, I could read that. When I looked around, I was in the yard. In John's picture, I could see the blue garage, green yard, bushes, and John was standing in front of me. So it's almost like she had some weird vision that seems super real.
Uh-huh.
And it says, here's where it gets really weird.
That was weird.
I did too. It was a still picture. Nothing moved, but I could feel John talking to me. That's right. Feel the words in my head like a blind person feels Braille. That's a really interesting thing. I would love to ask a medium about this. Anyway, he told me he was glad Andy and I were together because Jackie, Andy's ex, was killing Andy's spirit. But if I ever did anything to break Andy's heart, I'd have to deal with him. Whoosh! I was back on the couch. I looked at the picture. It hadn't moved or changed in any way. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of anything quite like that. A few months later, after I knew his mom better, I told her the story. Even though she's a devout Catholic, she still feels his dad is still around watching out for his kids. She asked if I knew that he never approved of the marriage. Jackie was a nice girl. She just had no life in her, which many others have verified. I said I didn't know any of this. She said John was an outspoken man, and knowing that I am too, she could definitely see him being so straightforward. That was the first time my father-in-law contacted me. Isn't that interesting? So then, next chapter, Father's Day 2004. Andy was the youngest in his family and was both his parents' favorite. He was a very early-term baby, a miracle child who should not have lived. Being sickly for the first 7 years of his life, he was very close to his parents. At 39, he became a daddy himself. As his first Father's Day rolled around, I could see it bothering him that his father would never get to meet his grandson. I tried to assure him that his dad did see them and watched out for his son and grandson. The first weekend in June, we had a Cub Scout camping trip. Andy was going golfing, but I was taking the baby camping with my older son and me. He was our pack mascot. I asked John to give me a sign that he was there. I wanted 3 chipmunks on Saturday. What the hell are you talking about, you ask? What kind of sign is that? Well, if you're trying to talk to the dead, you can't say, give me a sign. How will you know when you get one? Pick something possible but not probable. Hence, the chipmunks. They are fairly shy creatures. I've been camping all my life in this area, and I've never seen 3 chipmunks in one day. Call it a coincidence or whatever you want, but I believe John was answering me. Number 1. Even with 30 kids running amok in the campsite, we had one brave chipmunk dodging them all day long. I saw him at least a dozen times, and others commented on it too. Now, I'm going to interject. When I read this story for the first time, I thought that could have been different chipmunks. So she might have even seen three then, and they just look alike. Number two, the evening campfire. We had a pretty good pack in Gibbstown. I guess that's where they were camping. We love skits, jokes, and songs, but in 3 years, I don't remember anyone ever telling a campfire story. Out of the blue, one leader says, I want to tell you an old Indian legend about how the chipmunk got his stripes. That was weird. Number three, the third one never showed up. I remember thinking, John, you let me down. After golfing that day, my husband had joined us. We were now snuggling in our sleeping bags. I started off. I know you don't believe this, but I proceeded to tell him about the signs. I heard him sniff, and he told me a chipmunk was standing in a tee box staring at him. He tried to shoo it away, but it only backed off a few feet, and it kept watching. I hugged my husband and told him that it was his dad telling him he was with him and his grandson. I'm not sure if he really believed me, but he definitely woke up in a much happier mood on Father's Day. Next chapter. You'll relate to this one. Andrew talks to Grandpop John, 2005-2007. Jean, Andy's mom, is awesome. How many 75-year-olds do you know who play video games and have lightsaber fights with three-year-olds? She babysat 2 days a week for us because she was retired and wanted to have time with Andrew. They would play games and look at family photo albums, and she liked to tell stories about Daddy and Grandpop. Andrew would come home and repeat things she had told him. The boy has a mind like a steel trap. He'd often say things like his grandma's mom said this or that. Every once in a while, he'd say, Grandpa told him such and such. I'd pretty much ignore that, assuming he misspoke. One day, he was telling me a story, and I asked him if my grandma's mom had told him that. He said, no, Grandpa told me that. I said, you mean grandma said Grandpa said that? He said, no, I told you, Grandpop told me. Pop, pop, way like my grandpop? Grandpop John. At this point, my three-year-old was looking at me like I was an idiot. What does Grandpop look like? He got up off the floor and pointed to the picture on the wall. I asked, does Grandpop John talk too much? He replied, sometimes. Do you know he died? Do you know what that means? Yeah, it makes Daddy sad. He visits sometimes and tells me funny stuff. What was I supposed to say to that? Tell him I said hi? Okay, so he went back to playing. As he got older, he didn't mention Grandpa John as much. He's 12 now, so I'll have to ask him if he remembers those conversations. Next chapter, Of Course I'm Here, 2015. I hadn't felt John's presence for several years, although I knew he had to still be around. We now live in a house that we bought in 2006, and I can honestly say there isn't a spirit in sight. The picture now hangs on the left hinge of a cabinet door in Andy's garage. The cabinet is full of pool supplies. It's about 3 feet wide, old, and hard to open or close. No matter how hard we slam this thing, the picture doesn't fall off. Andrew is now 11 and plays baseball and soccer. He's good at both, but he's probably the best goalie in his flight in the soccer league. My husband Andy coaches the soccer team and helps with baseball. Every now and then, I can tell he's thinking of his dad and missing him. He gets that sad, faraway look, and it makes my stomach knot. His mom used to come to as many games as she could, but now she's too old to walk out to the fields. It bothers him that his dad has never gotten to see Andrew play, and it was time for John to let me know he was watching. So one afternoon when I was alone, because otherwise people would think I'm crazy, I told John that I wanted to see a picture of him. Infrequently, once in a while, every 2 or 3 years, someone would post an old family picture on Facebook with John in it. I told him he had 3 days, two past and nothing. On the third day, I was gardening, sort of. I pretty much kill everything, either by drowning it or forgetting to water it. However, I have a grapevine that I prune in early spring after the grape bunches appear. I'm not sure if I should, but it works for us, and she produces anywhere from 20 to 50 pounds of grapes for the best jam on the planet. So my pruning shears are on the right side of the cabinet and down a little bit. As I walk in, I noticed the picture, and I said, I'm very disappointed in you, John. It's day 3 and still no photo. Maybe you've heard that you should not taunt spirits. Well, as I leaned around the lawnmower to get my shears, the picture smacked me upside the back of my head hard enough that it cracked. I was shocked. I've never actually seen anything move before. The garage door was closed. There was no breeze. I did not touch the lawnmower or bump the wall or cabinet in any way. The picture had to fall 3 feet sideways to hit me. The last time I checked, gravity did not work that way. I picked up the photo and smiled. Alrighty then. I love you too. I put it back up on the hinge, tried opening and slamming the door, but it didn't budge. Guess I'll be a little more respectful the next time we talk. Thanks for hours of entertainment. It keeps me going at work. Kimberly. I think that's so interesting the way she wrote that story.
I love it.
I liked it too. And I do think, you know, like you and I've talked about so many times that, you know, what's time on the other side? If his dad wants to be around to watch over his son and his grandson and his family, but he could be taking a back seat, you know, he's not front and center all the time.
And that's why I'm not sure that you can always say, okay, this has to happen in 3 days. I like that she was always setting up these challenges for him. Like, I need 3 chipmunks. I need a picture in 3 days. I need, you know, and it seems like she was, you know, getting, you know, her signs that
I thought
she was
just seeing the chipmunk running around. Cause I'm like, they could be different chipmunks. Maybe it's like squirrels. Like, am I seeing the same one? Is that a different one? I don't know.
Yeah. But I think it's kind of funny to say, okay, I'm going to set up a challenge for you and let's see if you can do this. You know, I do think you have to be careful about taunting a spirit.
And she kind of did that last time.
She kind of did.
Like, I need this. I need to know you're around. Mm-hmm. And I think it could be done in a way that, like, you know, I need to know you're still there. And not in the way she did it. I need to know you're still there, so give me a sign. I need to see a picture in 3 days. Like, she put a deadline on it.
I know. But like we've always said, time doesn't necessarily work the same. So our 3 days, is that the same as three? You know what I mean? So
I just thought it was really interesting. But see, that one part of that story with the grandson talking to the granddad, that's exactly what happened with your son.
Yep. And, exactly what happened.
You know, and same thing. He's telling us stories that grandpa said this or, well, bozos, what do you call them? Yeah. He said this or that. And we'd be,
you know,
like,
and I'd be
okay.
Like,
hey,
bozo said that.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, and sometimes he'd even get kind of frustrated with me. Yes. I told you, bozo. You know, I'd be like, okay. But she might ask. My son, Chris, remembers it. Mm-hmm. But he was a little bit older than three.
Yeah, he was in the 5, 6,
I'd say
range.
It was more like 5, maybe 6.
Yeah.
5 or 6. So,
because I know that dad died in July and we had the graveside service that we did was like September, October-ish in there. It was just a nasty cold day. Yeah. And at that point, I don't know that Chris had been talking about him as much, but it was really weird because dad used to reach over and he would just kind of scratch the back of my neck. And we're sitting in the car, me and your two oldest. Maybe I had all three of your kids. I don't remember. Probably just the two oldest. Caitlin would have needed a car seat, I bet. And we're sitting there because it was just so cold and windy that day. And we're waiting for everybody to get there and get out. And I felt that on the back of my neck. And right then Chris says, he's here. And I'm like, who's here? He goes, bozo. Like right after that happened, I was like, and I just teared up and I said, Chris, I think you're right. I think he's here. It was really sweet.
Yep.
Kind of creepy. But sweet.
Kind of creepy, but sweet.
So here's the next story. And this also has a title. It's called The Baby Monitor. It was, right.
There is something creepy about baby monitors, I got to tell you.
It was the late fall, early winter of 2009. At this time, our youngest daughter would have been about 4 to 5 months old. We'd been living in our home for a few months at the time, but we were aware of some strange things going on here due to the fact that my in-laws had lived here for the previous 9 years. Our home sits on the eastern bank of the, gosh, this is so hard for me to say, you guys, Arkansas River. That's hard.
It's the Arkansas.
I know. It's the Arkansas River, but this story takes place in Little Rock.
Well, and I still call it Arkansas.
It is the Arkansas River there. Because I just look at it.
I call it Arkansas.
Because in my town, you just see Arkansas and we pronounce it Arkansas. Anyway, we've had that conversation before. So our home sits on the eastern bank, I'm going to do my best, of the Arkansas River north of Little Rock. It sits almost directly on top of the route of the infamous Trail of Tears. And it was on the same riverbank that a post-Civil War battle known as the Battle, you can help me with this, of Palarm, P-A-L-A-R-M, took place during a period of Arkansas history called the Brooks-Baxter War. There's a historical cemetery within the bounds of our neighborhood that began as a Native American burial ground before eventually becoming an African American cemetery. This area has seen life and it has seen violent death. Our house has many quirks, and we have all seen and heard some things that can only be explained as abnormal, if not ghostly. I bet that's a lot of history in that
area.
That's
a lot.
Being the parents of an infant girl at this time, we were using a baby monitor with one receiver in her nursery near the back of the house. On this day, my wife had been working in the kitchen and had moved the other end, or the base of the monitor, onto the kitchen counter near the door that goes into our garage. Where we live, there are trains that run right near the house. They got all of it going on. They got the water, the cemetery, the trains, tugboats that navigate up and down the river, and a highway about a mile away. So there is ample radio traffic. It is not uncommon to pick up what I would call squelch on the baby monitor, or a high-pitched kind of squeak or squeal, or sometimes even pops, but we had never heard a conversation on the monitor as some people that use them report. I, like most people with a garage, enter the house that way rather than coming through the front door. On this particular evening, my wife was working and our daughters were visiting my parents near Little Rock. When I arrived at home from work, it was just getting dark. With the way our house sits, sunset will often give us an almost surreal glow to everything you see inside. It casts kind of a long, eerie set of shadows across everything in the house. Sounds cool.
It does.
As I stepped into the empty, darkening house through the garage entryway, the first thing I noticed was that I had caught the house in this twilight state where everything looked a bit out of place due to the shadows and light. The river was aglow with a dull orange reflection and everything seemed so serene. As I began to step into the house, I noticed something not so serene. I could hear two what seemed to be male voices carrying on a muffled conversation. I looked behind me as I thought maybe I was hearing our next door neighbors out working in their yard as they often did, but I saw no one out there. Just as I was about to dismiss it as mental fatigue from a long day at work and a stressful drive home, I stopped in my tracks as the muffled conversation began again. It really spooked me this time. Out of the corner of my eye, I caught the green power indicator light of the baby monitor base sitting on the kitchen counter, and I realized that the monitor was not in its normal place and the voices were coming from it. Just then, it all came together for me, and I realized that whoever was doing the talking must be in the back part of the house near the nursery. Almost without thought, I yelled, "Hey, who's here?" At that very second, over the bass speaker of the monitor, I heard a very clear, "Shh," and the conversation stopped instantly. This incident has always made me feel as if I interrupted something going on, something that was not meant to be heard. A lot can be read into a shush or shh, but to me, this one sounded like it had a frustrated tone to it, as if to say, "Shut up, they can hear us." This incident spooked me bad enough that I reached over and turned on the garage light and made my way back out there where I stayed for over 2 hours until my wife and kids arrived home. When they pulled into the garage, I was out there sweeping and cleaning up, still wearing my dress clothes from work that day. It took me a little while to tell my wife what had scared me and why I decided to freeze out in the garage for a couple of hours that night rather than coming inside. We continued to use that same monitor for the better part of a year following this incident, and no one ever heard anything unusual coming from it again. That's from Eric. That would creep me out. And it bothered him so bad that he wouldn't even eat, like, and I bet he was just pretending to sweep in the garage. You heard him pulling out.
Oh, he probably had that whole damn thing cleaned up. It was really spotless.
I don't know what else to do with myself.
I want to go and say, is there a way that you could catch a conversation, you know, using some sort of radio waves and it picks up a conversation somehow, you know, but the fact that, number one, it reacted to him when he yelled and it went shh like that. That's weird. I mean, that can't just be that it's picked up a conversation.
And if it was if it was hearing a conversation, it would have kept going.
Yeah.
You know, and the voices would be muffled, but you wouldn't
They wouldn't react to you.
No. And it seemed to have reacted to him.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that it spooked him so bad that he just went to the garage and wouldn't even come in.
Absolutely.
That says
it all right there.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Okay, so I have to ask the question: if that would have happened to you, would you have thrown the baby monitor out?
Absolutely. Yeah, that baby monitor's long gone.
But he's like, they used it for another year.
They continued to use it. No way could I have left that thing plugged in and around.
I think so.
They're just kind of creepy, you know. And you hear these stories and you see these little clips that people post, you know, this was my baby's bedroom and now they have the video ones and there's some weird thing in the room, you know, and you're like, my God, that's my child, you know, it's just so creepy. Now,
I remember
is it better to know or to not know?
I remember years ago I was waitressing at a theater downtown and everybody had ghost stories about this place. And I didn't have any. But one night, we're all kind of hanging out, partying in the back room after the show. And I went into the theater part and they had shut the sound system off. Now, it was plugged in, but it was 100% no power at all. Everything is powered down. And I start hearing someone talking through the speakers. So I went and grabbed somebody. And I'm like, what is this? And they go, oh, it's coming through the sound system. And I go, but there's no power. Oh, well, it can come through even without power. Like, can it? Like, how can it? It was amplified. Like, it was loud. It's a big 200-person seat theater. And this voice was loudly coming through the speakers. But I couldn't understand. But it was somebody talking, but it was just all muffled, like what he's describing.
That's
and I'm like,
so weird.
There's no power. How is that happening? You know, I could see, I don't know, maybe a pop or something, but this is going on for minutes. I don't know. So I don't know how to explain that either.
Well, and Eric felt like it was paranormal, not that there were people in the house. Right. Like he didn't call the police. He wasn't concerned about going back into the house with the wife and kids. You know,
true.
It wasn't like he felt like people were back there.
Yep. I'd have gotten a new baby monitor.
I don't know. Yeah. I might not have even gotten one.
But it does sound like a super cool place, like the lighting everything like that and the river and all that.
Well, and all of the history around the place.
There's no
was crazy.
Like I'd be surprised if Eric that was the only thing that ever happened there.
Well, he said things happened and they knew it because like his parents had lived there for 9 years or something, did he say?
Yeah.
So they knew that other things had happened too. So Eric, talk to your parents, find out what other things happened and let us know.
I would love to hear more about that. So if you have a story like Eric's, that was so good. We want to hear it. Call in 855-853-4802. Write in at Real Ghost Stories Online. And if you want to be a premium subscriber, you don't listen to commercials, You get advanced episodes and access to the archive. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.